In this week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu begins his descent. He begins his descent to Eretz to Mitzrayim. And Yaakov is afraid. He is frightened of leaving the comfort of Eretz Yisrael and descending into a foreign land. Hashem says, it appears to Yaakov Avinu on his way down and says to him, "Do not worry, Yaakov. Onoichi ered imcha Mitzrayim. I will descend with you to Mitzrayim. V'onoichi a'alcha gam oloi. I will ascend with you. I will ascend with you. V'yosef yashis yadoi al einecha." Ibn Ezra, on this pasuk, explains the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said these words to Yaakov Avinu, "Do not worry, I will descend with you, but I also will come up with you." What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to address? What was the concern? Yaakov was afraid that he would not be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu desperately wanted kavura in Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reassured him, "You need not worry, you will be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Yosef will be the one that will guarantee that you will come, you will be buried." So here we learn over here a major yisrael. This is really one of the first makar. This is the first makar of just because Sarah was buried in Ma'arvis Machpelah doesn't mean anything. That's where she died. She died in Eretz Yisrael. But the first time we find a person dying in Chutz Li'aretz, and we find that he has the need, he has the concern, the tzar, that he will not be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reassures him, "Do not worry, I will see to it that you will be buried in Eretz Yisrael." And we know that Yaakov Avinu also, he made Yosef swear. And we know that Yosef told his brothers, "Make sure that when I also come up to Eretz Yisrael." We learn here that there definitely, without question, is an inyan in being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Now the big question is why? What exactly is the inyan? What is the advantage of being buried in Eretz Yisrael? So to make a long story short, I'm just running to a lot of material. Everything I'm telling you is coming from the Sefer Higyonei HaParsha. We used the Sefer yesterday by Aryeh David Wasserman. Also I have some supplementary material from the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, otherwise known as the RJJ Journal, from fall 1998. That's like from a different generation. From Rabbi Alfred Cohn. He has a short article, "Burial in Israel." He has a lot of interesting stories, and that story is different information that's not found over here. This is more of a halakhic approach, so we'll just try to bring together some of the ideas very quickly. Number one, there are three major advantages. Number one, kapara, atonement. Chazal said that if a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you're buried underneath the Mizbeach. The essence of the Mizbeach is atonement. Korbanos are offered on the Mizbeach daily, continuously, in order to bring kapara to Klal Yisrael. A human being is mole chet. This is the reality. Ein Tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechata. A person needs kapara. Every bit of kapara that a person can bring upon himself, the better. And whether that means what happens in the next world to the neshama, we have no idea. But if a person can bring his body, his guf, near, in the vicinity of the mizbeach, an object which is atonement, that basically seems to mean that one of two things: either just being near the mizbeach itself is kapara, or what it means is that all of the korbanos that are offered on the mizbeach somehow channel into the person's bones. The Mizbeach is attached to the earth, and that earth is all, the whole Eretz Yisrael is one big Mizbeach. So it's almost as if the sacrifice and being offered in the Mizbeach are going to be a form of atonement for the person's neshama. What that means exactly, obviously, we do not know. We don't know how this works, but Chazal say that there is kapara, and in the next world, the neshama desperately wants kapara. It's a great advantage to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. It enhances... What? The earth isn't it, but it's didn't live the Mizbeach. And I'm going to show you a nafkamina soon, in regard to this. Okay, next reason. The next reason why it's good to be buried in Eretz Yisrael is because of Techiyas HaMeisim. It has absolutely no benefit at this in this moment. Kapara doesn't make a difference. Kapara, there'll be other means of kapara. Mizbeach being buried is one form of kapara. But there are multiple backup plans for kapara. Okay, the children will say Kaddish. There's something called Gehenna. People can give tzedakah. There are many different ways to achieve kapara. You don't need to be buried in Eretz Yisrael near the Mizbeach to achieve kapara. We have a lot of tricks up our sleeve for kapara. And there, until Mashiach comes, there's no difference being buried here, being buried in China, or being buried in Eretz Yisrael and Har HaZeisim. The only difference is at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim. When that moment will occur, and we have no clue how all of this will play out, you will want to be in Eretz Yisrael. That's the moment when the neshama will feel the pain. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, number one, there's an advantage of being first. You will be from the first group, we don't know what all this means, of Tchiyas HaMeisim. If the people in Chutz Li'aretz will not have Tchiyas HaMeisim at that moment, their tchi will come at a later point in time. You'll ask, what difference does it make? Tchiyas HaMeisim is Tchiyas HaMeisim. So today was a tomorrow. Obviously, there's something to it. Okay, we're not balabatim to appreciate, but there's something to it to be from the first, to be up in the early birds of Tchiyas HaMeisim is obviously an advantage. The third is possibly the most mystical, and that is, we have a principle that neshamas neilam or emes, they travel mechayil el chayil, yelchu mechayil el chayil. And according to what it says, the source that he presents here is that in order for the neshama to travel in the neilam or emes from one level to the next, if the neshama is rooted, is the guf of the neshama is buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's just that much easier. It enhances the person's ability to be mobile, to move, and to travel. There's a tesefes kedusha being in Eretz Yisrael. Now, lemay nafkamina. Let's just jump around some nafkaminas before we even have the different ideas. Now, one nafkamina, very interesting nafkamina, will be if a person is already buried in Chutz Li'aretz for more than 12 months. In other words, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which we'll discuss in a few moments, that if a person is buried in Chutz Li'aretz, you are allowed to exhume the body to reinter him in Eretz Yisrael without question. I have to ask. The person did not need to give a tzava. I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. A person does not need to make a tnai. We're only burying the person here temporarily in order that we will later take him to Eretz Yisrael. Shulchan Aruch, Yeridea, just to go to Eretz Yisrael, there's a body buried in Chutz Li'aretz, and the family has the money, has the means, and has the will. They can, without asking any shilas, and have any tzava, you're allowed to take the body and take the body, remove it from Chutz Li'aretz, and bring it to Eretz Yisrael for reburial, for reinterment. Eretz Yisrael. Now, the question over here is, why would you want to do so? So we mentioned three reasons. If the Iker Tam is Kapara, so this is very fascinating. The neshama, according to the song that we have, the tradition that we have, only needs kapara, primary kapara, for 12 months. After 12 months are over, it's done. Yeah, of course, you'll tell me there's always kapara, you say kaddish on the yard site, and so on and so forth. Okay, there's a secondary kapara, but the primary kapara is completed within 12 months. Therefore, if the body already is resting in peace for 12 months, and you want to focus on kapara, then there's no need. It's too little, too late. There's no advantage of now taking the neshama, the body, out of the grave and bringing it to Eretz Yisrael once 12 months have passed. If it's within 12 months, when the process of kapara is still evolving, then yes, then there is a very big inyan in taking the body to Eretz Yisrael. It's an amazing idea that the pressure to do, the need to do kavur be'Eretz Yisrael is only in the first 12 months. Okay. Now, the other idea the major thrust of this topic is not even in the Bavli, it's in the Yerushalmi. Okay, in the Yerushalmi, the Gemara presents there, I think, three or four different reasons. Let's try to read through what it says in the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi reveals to us a new idea about Eretz Yisrael. It's not so much being buried in Eretz Yisrael, but it's dying in Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, let me read what the Yerushalmi says. Ula nechusa, ula nechusa, Havi idmuch tamon, shari bache. That was his name. His name was Ula Nechusa. He was called Nechusa. I don't think this is the same Ula of the Bavli. Maybe it is. He was called Nechusa because he would frequently visit Bavel. Frequent flyer. He had children learning in Lakewood. So he lived in Eretz Yisrael. He would frequently visit Bavel. So every month he went. But his primary residence was in Eretz Yisrael. Ula Nechusa. Havi idmich tamon. He was about to die, he was in Bavel, and all of a sudden, he got very sick. And he entered into a hospital in Bavel, and he was about to die. Shari, Havi Idmuch Taman, Shari Bachi, and he cried. He began to cry. They said to him, Amr Nlei, Malach Bachi, why are you crying? You lived a wonderful life, you had a wonderful life. What's there to cry about? So he said, I'm crying because I'm not going to die in Eretz Yisrael. I was meiser nefesh to live a life in Eretz Yisrael, and I only came to Bavel occasionally for whatever reason, and my bad mazel, I get deathly ill here in Bavel, I'm going to die here in Bavel. So they said to him, big deal, don't worry, die here in peace, and we'll take you El Al, first class. We'll take you to Eretz Yisrael to be buried there. Anan maskin loch le'arad Yisrael. Omar lohoin. This is the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is recording this. It's telling us a very important lesson. He said to him, Uma hanoyoli. What benefit is there to me? You'll take my body to Eretz Yisrael. Ano. He goes on to describe. He gives a mashal over here with a jewel. I'm not exactly sure what it means over here, but the Rebbe Pnei Moshe explains. He basically said to them, the maila of being buried in Eretz Yisrael is not the burial; it's the dying in Eretz Yisrael. It's that the neshama should depart in Eretz Yisrael. That's the ikar maila. And indeed, the Gemara goes on to have a discussion. The Gemara elaborates upon this. And the Gemara quotes this person's name was Rebbe Bar Kirei, the Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Elazar. And they were walking on the road. The Gemara elaborates upon this theme. They saw when they were walking on the road, they were in the airport, I guess. And Verohu Aroinoi Shohoyu Bo Mechutz Liaretz Liaretz. And they saw coffins arriving at the port of Eretz Yisrael. So Omar Rebbe Kira le Rebbe Lazar, Maiho Ilu Elu. So he said to Rebbe Lazar, what's the benefit? Exactly the same thing. What are these people coming over here to Eretz Yisrael? And here is something very, very frightening. And in fact, many Gedolim took this line very, very seriously, and this becomes a very big Nogiah Halach Lamaisa. And he said as follows, Ano Koyre Aleim, Rebbe Kire said about the bodies that are coming to Eretz Yisrael. V'nachalasi, he quoted a pasuk in Yirmiyah. V'nachalasi samtem l'to'eva. You viewed my inheritance as an abomination. B'chayechem, in your lifetimes, and in your death, v'atovohu v'atitamu es aretzi, you've come to contaminate my land. In other words, he said to them, what?
Using it as a graveyard.
If you really love Eretz Yisrael, you should have come to live here in your lifetime. The fact that you did not come and live in Eretz Yisrael in your lifetime was a statement that you viewed my inheritance as an abomination. It's a pretty, very, very powerful expression to say that if you don't make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael in your lifetime, you're insulting Hashem and saying to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, no thank you, your land is nothing more than an abomination. And now, when you're dead, all of a sudden you're a tzaddik, you have to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and you bring your coffin, your body, which is Tomei Tumas Nes, which is a form of contamination, you come to contaminate, so it's the worst of both. I wasn't good enough to live here in your lifetime, it was an abomination, but now when you're dead and your body is Metamei Aviyah Vaisatuma, Eretz Yisrael is good enough to contain the dead. This was his statement. Omale Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Bar Kira. So he disagreed with him. He basically said to him, I disagree. He basically said, it's not so, don't say that. The moment they arrive in Eretz Yisrael, they put earth of Eretz Yisrael upon their coffin, to claim what it says, in other words, the moment they arrive in Eretz Yisrael, we forgive them for the sin of not living here in Eretz Yisrael, we forgive them. But that's all. So the summary of this Gemara, okay, there's a lot of other information over here. I'm going to run out, but some of the Gemara basically comes that the Gemara goes further. The Gemara basically says there are three madregos. The Gemara acknowledges is that the ultimate madrega is to die in Eretz Yisrael. Really, I should say to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's put it in that form. Okay, that's the old madrega. The ultimate madrega is to live in Eretz Yisrael. If a person can't live in Eretz Yisrael, there's a madrega, at least die in Eretz Yisrael. At least return your neshama to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Holy Land. And indeed, some rabbis, some chassidus, some people, they very much believe in this. I think the Bushzaya. The Burzai here in Flatbush, he lives over here in the neighborhood. So when he was diagnosed, he was terminal. So he wanted very much that he should die in Eretz Yisrael. And the Imam, they brought him to Eretz Yisrael, and he was nifter in Eretz Yisrael to fulfill to have both milas. Number one, the mila of dying in Eretz Yisrael. If he can't live there, that's ultimately best. To live in Eretz Yisrael, to die in Eretz Yisrael, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But if at least he can't live in Eretz Yisrael, there is a mila to die in Eretz Yisrael. And people do that. People who are terminal, they go to Eretz Yisrael to die there. And then the second mila is then to be buried. So people, even people that cannot live in Eretz Yisrael, who do not die in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara acknowledges, at least according to one opinion, there's a second mila at least to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. As we mentioned, burial in Eretz Yisrael has three milas, either kapara or either to save yourself from Tchias HaMesim. You should not have to, there'll be Tchias HaMesim, you'll be from the first group of those people that are resurrected. And there's another reason which I forgot to mention, which is all part of Tchias HaMesim, you will not have to suffer the pain of the Mecholos. Chazal say that the dead of Chutz Liaretz will roll in caves, in order to arrive in Eretz Yisrael, and then they will blossom like blades of grass in Eretz Yisrael. We do not know what this means, but there is a tradition that it's painful for the neshama, for its bones, to roll in caves from Chutz Liaretz to Eretz Yisrael. So the person who wants to spare himself that tsar, that's why there's an advantage to being buried in Eretz Yisrael. In addition, the maila b'chlal of just being buried in Eretz Yisrael.
Is there anything that's amazing that the body does not disintegrate and doesn't exist anymore?
Well, we say that it's going to be resurrected. We don't know how it's going to work, but there's going to be some degree of resurrection for the body, the loose bone. We don't know how this works. There's going to be something's going to happen. I don't know. The bones will be...
Is amazing Mashiach? Is there any order of time?
No, Rambam says we don't know what's going to happen. It's all a big mystery. How it's going to play out is not known. It's from the great things that are unknown. Now, here is another very important topic of discussion. First of all, the reinterment. Okay, that we discussed. Just to quote the Shulchan Aruch says, there are only two reasons why you're allowed to take and remove a body and bury it somewhere else. Now, either because Eretz Yisrael, that's a given. Number two, to bury the body with his family. In other words, if a person, let's say it's buried, let's say out in Arizona. He died in Arizona, and whatever the story was, he was buried there. And his entire family is buried in New York. So you're not going to Eretz Yisrael. Are you allowed to go from New York to Arizona without asking a shayla, without any condition that being made when he was buried? What? Haruki Bezdin, that was, what do you mean?
They buried. And then afterwards
they brought him. Okay, it could be. It could be. So the answer is yes. There is no question you are allowed to take a body out of its location and bury it without asking any shalos, and you're going to bring it to Kivri Avos. That's called the kavod for the mace. It's a kavod for the mace to be buried with its family. It was very interesting. I was once in shul, and there was a very good person there, very Talmud Chacham, and he was talking about Kavura, where it's going to be buried. And he said over a story from probably one of the Soloveitchiks, and he said that he did not want to be buried near his father. He b'shum oifin did not want to be near his parents. He basically says, I'm afraid. My parents, my father, I'm embarrassed. My father was a very, very holy person. I don't come anywhere near his righteousness and his good deeds. I'm embarrassed. I'm afraid to be in his vicinity. It's interesting. There's an Indian of being buried with the family, and yet you see there's such a thing that am I right to be buried with my family? In the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, it says that you can take a body wherever it is located to bury it with the family. That's a cover for the person, for the family, and therefore that is done.
Can't you bury with the Tanai also?
Yes, yes. If a person is not buried with his family, and right now, due to circumstances, it's not feasible to go to Eretz Yisrael, they don't have enough money. Right?
Anywhere,
you can make a Tanai. If you bury the person, I'll Tanai, we're going to take the person to another location, yes, and then the person can be buried. The very interesting Shaila is, a very, very tough Shaila, which there really is no answer. He presents here, he devotes quite a bit of material to this Shaila, and it seems that it's common in Eretz Yisrael is, where a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael, but he wants to be relocated in Eretz Yisrael. Someone's buried in Tzfas, Tveria. Someone's buried in Bnei Brak. And now they realize they have a kever in Har Zeisim. And you want to go from Bnei Brak, you want to reinter the body in Har Zeisim. Har Zeisim is a Ferisha Chazal, a Medrash, that they're going to be the first to be resurrected. Han Har Zeisim. So it's a given that if the person is in America and you want to remove his body from America and bring it to Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to even ask a Shaila. It's Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to go from Chutz Eretz to Eretz Yisrael. There are conditions we'll discuss in a moment, but generally it's not a Shaila. If you want to go take a person even from one part of America to another part of America, you want to go from New York to Arizona, it's also if you want to bury him with his family. But what about going from one part of Eretz Yisrael to another part of Eretz Yisrael?
Without it tonight.
So basically, it's a major machlokes apoyskim, the Tzitz Eliezer, the Shevet Halevi, Shvus Yaakov. He brings three major apoyskim to discuss this question in very great detail. The Tzitz Eliezer says that if you're going closer to Yerushalayim, yes, a step up. He brings sources from the Rambam. A Shaila was presented to the Rambam about exactly this. The Shaila was from Chutz Le'aretz to Yerushalayim. And he wants to be medayik in the way the Rambam responded, the way the Shaila was presented, that the Rambam held that there are two different levels of burial in Eretz Yisrael. There's burial, stam burial in Eretz Yisrael, and then there's burial of being buried closer to Yerushalayim. Bizman is that you're not allowed to bury in Yerushalayim because you're not allowed to bury in Yerushalayim. The only burial plots are the Kivri David and Hulda Hanaviyah. Those are ancient burial spots, so that's already established. But any new burials cannot be done in Yerushalayim, but it means near Yerushalayim. The Tzitz Eliezer, after analyzing the sources of the Rambam and other sources he has, holds l'halacha, a very big chiddush, tremendous chiddush, that there is a maila in Eretz Yisraelim being buried near Yerushalayim, which means Har Zeisim. And therefore, if a person is buried, let's say Har HaMenuchas, or the Gedolei Yisrael Har HaMenuchas, and now you have a spot at Har HaZeisim, and the family very much wants to go to Har HaZeisim. The Tzitz Eliezer says, yes, you're allowed to reinter the body from Har HaMenuchas to Har HaZeisim. Tremendous chiddush. The Shvus Yaakov says you're not allowed to. It is forbidden. It is Osir. Shvus Yaakov was much before the Shevet HaLevi, if I'm not mistaken. And he holds that there is absolutely no advantage to being buried closer to Yerushalayim than there is in other parts of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore it is Osir to reenter a body, if the body already is in the mechitzos of Eretz Yisrael, okay, it's certainly in the mechitzos from the time of Kibbutz Sheni, you're not allowed to take that body unless there was a condition to remove it from one part of Eretz Yisrael to another part of Eretz Yisrael. The Shevet HaLevi says, he says it's a very tough shaila. Okay, Shevet HaLevi is like Pesach Achron, very recent. He says it's more mash like the Tzitz Eliezer. It's that there is an advantage. There's no question. He holds that there is an advantage being close to Yerushalayim. The sources of the Tzitz Eliezer are solid, but halacha lemaisa to do it, it's not so simple. It's not so simple to do. So I am assuming this shaila comes up often in Eretz Yisrael. There is such thing. Now he quotes here a very interesting shuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. This is the shaila. This is the tshuva. Family is very poor. I'm just reading a little more into the tshuva. Someone with a very poor family, and happened to be buried in a very, very chashuv. Happened to be buried in a very chashuv cemetery in New York. Okay, let's talk about Mount Judah. He buried him among all the gedolim in Mount Judah. There's the Admas Kodesh, and someone says, you know, there's someone who desperately wants to be buried in this location, this plot, and everything is already taken. There's no empty space. and it means the world to this person to be buried. His family is there, his relatives are there, all, his whole generation is there, he wants to be buried. And it just happens to be that your father is in the spot, has taken up the parking spot where my relative, I'll give you $1 million. I'll give you $1 million to take your father to Eretz Yisrael so that my father or my relative can be buried in that spot. So first of all, Moshe seems that there's no problem of burying someone else in the spot that's been vacated. You mentioned to me before that some people, they don't, once the spot has been used, it's never used again. It seems from the truth that it's not an issue. I don't know. It seems that that's not a halachic issue. So we want you to vacate this spot in order to let someone else. So Moshe says it is usser. Even for $1 million. Because if you really wanted to bring your father to Eretz Yisrael, you would have done so long ago. Obviously, you're very happy to be buried in America. You're very happy to here to be in this cemetery.
You had no choice.
You had no choice. The reason why all of a sudden you're coming to ask me, can I go to Eretz Yisrael? And you're showing me that it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to go. You're allowed to rebury a body from Chutz Li'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. You're going up. Kapara, there is Trias HaMesim, the Mechilois of Trias HaMesim, the Kedusha V'Tahara, but the only reason you're doing it is for money. You're only doing it for money. Even though we have a principle of Mitach Shaloi Lishma, Bal Lishma, and money is a good thing, but you have to understand, removing a body from its burial location is the most dangerous thing in the world of Kabbalah. The Shol HaMelech, it says in the Chazal that when you have to reinter a body, the neshama goes through horror. It feels that the Yom Hadin has arrived. The neshama experiences enormous pachat. We do not know how these things work, but Chazal say you disturb the sleep of the dead. It's a very serious matter. So if the person you know wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael and you're willing to go through this very great expense, okay, go for it. It's a very nice thing. But if you had no intent to do so, you never even crossed your mind to go through the tircha, to go take a body and bring it to Eretz Yisrael, and someone comes along, I'm assuming this happens all the time.
What happened with the case that I told you was that somebody accidentally sold the same plot twice.
Okay, so that's a different story. There was a mistake. You don't want to be buried in the Kever Shen Shaloi. But it's a very unique story, and it could happen.
Then they said not to move it.
Okay.
Eventually they did. Initially,
just leave it. But it's an amazing thing over here. It's an amazing thing. A person over here says, I'm giving you money. I'm giving you a lot of money. It means a lot to me. I'm giving you a lot of money. Take the money, and I'll pay for all the expenses. Take your father to Eretz Yisrael. Your relative Eretz Yisrael will be in Eretz Yisrael. You have all the milas, so that my relative can have the menuchas hanefesh. He can be buried over here. What's wrong? It's Shulchan Aruch. You're allowed to do it. You want to grease the wheels with a couple of dollars? What's the problem? Rav Moshe says it's a very good svara, but not in this case. In this case, when you're playing around with the dead, when you're playing around with the neshamas and olam ha'emes that are going to be frightened when their bones are going to be stirred, is not something you do for money. If you came to do this l'shma from the very beginning at your expense, fine. But to go take money is something that you're not supposed to. It's a very fascinating idea. Yeah. What? He will cover the burial. What?
That's it. No extra money, no bonus. We'll cover the burial.
No, then you're certainly not allowed to do it. Because you're causing tsar to the neshama. When a person is reburied, there's an enormous degree of tzad that comes to the neshama. Okay, now the Rav Henkin has a fascinating chiddush. First of all, Rav Moshe, he writes, he was very against burial in Eretz Yisrael. He held that it should not be done, even though he was buried in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Moshe was not a fan of bringing people to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Henkin was certainly not a fan. The only reason he writes there in the article, Alfred Cohen in the article, is that the only reason Rav Moshe never gave instructions, it seems, that he should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The only reason why they did was because it was once an event where a big Talmud Chacham died. He does not say in the article who it was. I'm sure they can verify that, all this information, or wherever it is. And Rav Moshe commented to his children, I'm shocked they didn't take him to Eretz Yisrael. I thought for sure they would take him. This is such a Talmud Chacham, such a great person. They didn't take him to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe was surprised. So the children understood from this story that if Moshe felt that if you're a great person, something there fell also. There are two parts that fell. If you're a great person, you should be brought to Eretz Yisrael. So that's why his children, they did bring Rav Moshe to Eretz Yisrael. Now this is the chiddush of Henkin. Rav Henkin has a very chiddush. The Gemara says that in ancient times, a mace was buried in very expensive tachrichen. Okay, very expensive burial shrouds. The coffin was not a pine box. The coffin was like what the goyim do. The coffin was a very, very significant. The expenses were off the charts, and it got to the point when a person died, the family, they went in debt. They could not deal with the cost, the expense of death, and they abandoned the mace and they ran away. Along came Rabban Gamliel, and he said, "I'm going to put an end to this, and it's going to start with me. When I die, I'm going to instruct. I'm going to be buried in a pine box, and I'm not going to be whatever they mean. I'm not going to be buried in any tachin. We have the simplest possible burial shrouds that in order not to create this, it should not be an expense for the family." So Rav Henkin says, he says a very big chiddush. Rav Henkin says that if today people, due to technology and due to the standard of life, living, everything has gone up, are going to start, it's going to become the standard where everyone who's choshev, it's not good for shidduchim. If the grandparents weren't buried in Eretz Yisrael, you know, it's not good for shidduchim. They're poor people. They can't even afford to bury their relatives in Eretz Yisrael. Right? It's going to become a status symbol. It's an enormously expensive today as well. You know what it costs a kever in Eretz Yisrael today? Yeah. Even the cheapest kever? It's a fortune. Just the cost for transfer to Eretz Yisrael. It's a fortune. If whatever the price are, the numbers are very, very high. And then today it's going to become, people are going to start doing this. You're going to create a new standard for burial. You are violating the original takana of Rabban Gamliel. An incredible insight from Rav Henkin. He held that it's usur. Just like today, no one would think of burying a mace in a fancy casket. No one would think of burying a mace in designer clothing, go buy a Hugo Boss suit to bury, right? A Hugo Boss capata to bury the mace. No one's going to do this today. Why not? That's how it should be done. A mace should be buried in dignified clothing. It is a takana. It is a takana to protect society. We have to protect ourselves from ourselves. The people are going to start trying to outdo each other the same way people outdo each other when it comes to weddings, when it comes to all other types of Jewish events. Then there's going to be another burden upon the community. So the same way Rabbi Gamliel was mevatel this, if we're going to start doing this once again and going to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to create a new thing that's no different than burying a mace in fancy clothing. And therefore Rav Henkin says that it should not be done. And then he also goes on to say that more often than not, the money is needed by the family, by the almana, by the yesoimim. It's a waste of money. It's not proper. Other paiskim say is don't. In traditionally in Europe, this was never ever done. Chodosh osur min haTorah. In Europe, no one even had a havamina to go bury the dead, to take the dead in Poland and bring it to Eretz Yisrael. It didn't exist. The means were not present. No one had the opportunity to do so. It was never done to do such a thing. So now is not the time to start new minhagim, to take bodies from Chutz Liaretz, far distances, and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. So this is something. There's another reason why Chazal, other Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, gave explicit instructions not to be buried in Eretz Yisrael because he wanted his family to come and daven at his kever, and that is very important. Again, there's also kivrei avos. Visitors are important. Kivrei avos. Then there's another and very critical issue about removing a dead body from Chutz Liaretz to the very narrow to show, besides of all these expenses. The other major issue is you are insulting the other dead bodies. By taking a body out of a cemetery, you have a body in a cemetery in Chutzlars. If you remove the body, that's an insult to all of the neighbors. All of the neighbors, the community of the dead. the co-op. It's an insult. Why am I better than all of you to leave? So that, and it's also an insult to the other the people who come to visit, all the living. How come this person he left? Well, we weren't good enough. The person who died, he didn't feel that he was buried among tzaddikim, that he had to go take the body and go bury it somewhere else. So by reinterring a body, it's not so simple. You have to take into consideration the insult to the dead and the insult to the living that come to visit the dead. That's also a very significant consideration, taken into consideration when the person has an idea that he wants to go rebury in Eretz Yisrael. All right, stop here.